Oh, really? How did Jacques say last night? God says, beat the ground and some will get weary, but those that will stand keep beating, they will enter in. So, well done. Lucky to have you there. Do you have your cell phones here? Yes, most of you. Don't you want to take your cell phones out quickly? I'm going to teach you how to use Christianity and social media. This is a bit loud. Okay, so take out your cell phone and quickly go to Facebook. Okay, we want to post many things on Facebook, but it is also to advance the kingdom of God, to give a message out there that which I as an individual are busy with is building God's kingdom. So you go to Facebook and you put on your status the following. I am attending the Ablaze conference. Okay? No, don't post yet. I am attending the Ablaze conference. Are you done? And you say, I'm attending the Ablaze conference, and then you say what God has spoken to you today. Okay? So I'm going to say, because God spoke to me about what I prepared, I'm attending the Ablaze conference, and God is intentional to purify us. Something like that. Okay? But you have to put in your own words. And then hashtag, Ablaze conference. Yeah, it's normally people our age that don't. I think other people know. Okay, so then you post all of it. You know why I ask you to do that? The world bombards us with their info. And a lot of Christians fall into the trap that we go and comment on how wrong their stuff is. But we never post on how right our stuff is. Okay? And what you're going to do is, all the you that know each other, you're going to like that post of each other. Okay? So you have like hundreds of likes. So in the future, when you go to church or when you go to cell group, tonight I was at Shofar Windhoek's cell group and then you say. Tomorrow morning you're going to say, attended church at Shofar Windhoek and, okay, that we're going to bombard the world with God's wisdom. Amen. Okay, unfortunately, I'm going to speak on Christian parenting, so I think I chased all the single ones away this morning. Are you back, the single ones? Very well done. May it be a fresh deposit in your spirits. Okay. Like we said this morning is, we are called for the next generation. You got that, hey? You know that there's a scripture in the Bible that says, when the enemy comes in like a flood, you know it, then what happens? The enemy comes in like a flood? God raises up a standard. Can somebody here tell me what that standard is the Bible speaks about? No? It's a good one, though. When the enemy comes in like a flood, God raises up a standard, a godly generation, a church, a body of Christ. You know why? The world should look at you and say, you've got a different standard than me. I want to follow that. I see the blessing. I see God's favor. I see your contentment. I see how you're serving. So God says, God is not going to jump out of a bush and says, I'm the standard. He saved you, and he is teaching you through the church and through his word how to live. So God is using us as the standard, okay? I quickly want you, before we have the first clip, who's got a Bible here? Open. Psalm 144. Psalm 144. Okay? The reason I want you to open your Bibles, we're also a generation of technology. So we don't read our Bibles anymore. We go read the summaries of certain scriptures. So I want you, I'm going to read it off there. I'm reading from the New Living Translation. But I want you to read that it's really in the Bible. It says, may our sons flourish in their youth like well-nurtured plants. May our daughters be like graceful pillars carved to beautify a palace. So when you hear nourish, that your son should be nourished like a well-nurtured plant, what kind of plant do you think of? Eh? A green one. What needs well-nurturing? I think an orchid. They're fussy. It's a certain temperature, specific soil, all the detail about it. And if you don't do it according to what they need, an orchid dies and it doesn't flourish anymore. Okay? So let's quickly say our sons should be treated or raised like an orchid. Okay? So it's gentle. You get the feeling of gentle, proper, thorough. Do you get that feeling? Good. Okay. When we raise our sons like plants, it's with tenderness, but with strong direction. And then they become men of character. Okay? Why do I say that? Because I know how plants work. When we don't nurture them, when we don't water them in the right time, if we don't prune them in the right time, they die. They cannot survive. And that produces a beautiful outcome, a beautiful flower, something that blesses somebody else. Think of a rose. Roses are beautiful when we prune them, when we kill all the bugs on it, when we, what else, water it. Am I right? Then somebody else can enjoy the blessing of the beauty of it, okay? Does your son know, have you even thought of that you need to teach your son how to choose a wife one day? The Bible only speaks of two types of women, only two. The wise woman and the one that will lure you into her arms. Choose quickly, what kind of woman do you want? Do you understand what I'm saying? It is not only how to hunt, how to bribe, how to all the stuff we spoke of that this morning. It's that, but it is also the other things. Do you know that every child by the age of 12 know exactly what they want in a husband and wife? It's set. It's final. We have 12 years to nurture them, to teach them, to show them what marriage is about, how it works, in order for them to flower in such a way. Okay? I love it when I realize every now and then that I'm raising the father of my grandchildren. That's my son. I'm raising the leader of a household. I am raising a husband that needs to lead, a godly one with character. It changes your perspective, doesn't it? Okay? Sons have to learn that they are going to be the leaders of their home. They have to know it. How do we teach them that? How do we nurture that? How do we train them? Cut the grass. Lock the doors. Wash the cars. Why, Daddy? Because I'm teaching you to be a good husband. Change the toilet rolls. Why, Daddy? It's a woman's job. I'm teaching you to serve your wife one day because you're going to lead by example, my son. Okay? You know that the people in the olden days said, boys don't belong in the kitchen? Why not? A husband has to lead by example. So if a wife doesn't do it, he can show her, my lovey, this is the way I want it in our household. Please come and do it. We have to equip them with life skills. Daughters is completely a different story. It says, may our daughters be like graceful pillars carved to a beautiful palace. Now, I don't know about you, but carving, to me, sounds harsher than nurturing. Okay? And we're always gentler with our daughters. Ouch. True. Hey, lots of grace for our little girls. Very harsh on our boys. The Word of God somehow, if I understand correctly, says be careful. Nurture your sons. Carve your girls. Why is that? I've got one of both, teenage years. I can exactly tell you why. I can give you a full show of each character in my household as well. The boys are interested in, they want to explore. They want to know how to fish. They want to play rugby. They focused on different things. Girls want to dress the way fashion tells them to dress. Girls want to gossip and badmouth each other because that is what everybody does. You know that cat fight everybody speaks of? I think we know where we're going. I have to nurture, I have to carve my little girl that she will not think like the world does. Am I right? Like we spoke this morning on dressing. The Bible teaches us in Titus 2 a very valuable lesson that we have lost in society today. Older women should teach the younger woman what? Go to Titus 2. I want you to find it yourself. What should older women teach younger women today? I want the answer from you. Yes, Titus 2. You need to find it. I'm not going to tell you which verse. Can I give you the mic?
That's a fact, isn't it? But as for you, promote the kind of living. Teach the older men. Similarly, teach the older women.
These older women must train the younger women to love their husbands and their children, to live wisely and be poor, to take care of their homes, to do good, and to be submissive to their husbands. Then they will not bring shame on the Word of God.
Community's responsibility. You know what happened in society? We don't teach our children anymore. We send them to school and to church. So we've fallen into a culture. It's not our job anymore. Somebody else will do it in any case. Somebody else is not going to teach your children about life skills and the Word of God and godly principles. If you're not going to do it, they will not learn it. Okay? So older women should teach the younger ones how to love their husbands and children, to live pure, so that your daughters and my daughter will not be shamed in public when they are adults. So, and here is the very difficult core of it. If somebody walks to my daughter on a Sunday morning and say, inappropriate dressing, I don't like the way you speak. You know what we do? Our culture says we're allowed to do it. We as parents get so upset with that person, we stop talking to them. We ignore them. We tell everybody around us what stupid woman that is. How dare she speak to my daughter like that? It's a biblical principle, okay? But I just want to put it in balance. Older women should speak the truth in love, okay? Not a harsh word, because if we speak harshly to other people's children, they will never trust us again. They're going to close their hearts because then it would hurt too much. But if I say gently, our son, you know, the new fashion, they've got these string pants, and it's very baggy, and it hangs. And as they walk, it goes down the hip. Okay? So, Max said to Daniel, 10 times, you can wear those trousers in our house, but you will not go to church and functions with those trousers. So, one afternoon, he walks from gym, and he comes to our offices, and he's like packed like a donkey, and the pants are here, and you see the undies showing. You know what happened? Rick and Yonkor immediately say to him, your dad is going to be upset. And he says, my hands are full. And they both told him, not knowing about each other, you better put your bags down. Your dad is going to discipline you. That is whenever you are in Stellenbosch, please go through the turmoil of meeting her. She stands at the door on Sunday. She says, hello to everyone. Hello. Then she says to the young boys, don't you think your t-shirt is a bit too small, you know? I quite like your body, but it looks a bit... And then she smiles at them. And everybody loves her. Then the girls come in, inappropriately dressed. Then she flicks their bras and says, and this? And then they go red. She says, I don't think your father saw you this morning, did he? But then daddy's right behind his little girl. That is older ones teaching the younger ones. That is having their heart. Tani Kumi is how old? 76. The teenagers love her. Okay, so don't have a perception that they're going to hurt your children. Allow them. When we speak, when older women speak into our daughters' lives, they're busy carving them. So they can be a beautiful pillar in a palace. Just a tip, bit off the subject. You know that in the Christian world, it became sort of fashionable to do the bar baraka for children at the age of 13? Yes, yes, yes. Okay. What about we do it at 7, 13, and 21? Because it's an ongoing process. And you go away with your son when he turns 7. And everybody in your community that really loves him and has an influence on his life. And you canoe down a river. I'm creating my own little picture here. And around the fire tonight, these men just started building into your 7-year-old son's life what marriage is about, what tithing is about, what sacrifices he has to do for the days to come for the kingdom of God. You know what? That has much more value on that child's life than all your discipline. Okay, so I'm going to give you a few keys on how to nurture your sons like a plant and how to carve your girls so that they will be beautiful pillars. The first one, the first key we need to look at is God gives favor. And God alone gives favor. If your child is in primary school one day, and she is not in the 8 netball team, and your son is not the captain of the rugby, you can spare your breath. You can fight with the coach. You can badmouth the school. You can moan on the principal's head as much as you want. It's God that gives favor. Not a principal, not a teacher, not a community. Okay? Know that now already. So when you get there, that you will remember it. Okay? Let's talk about on God's favor. 2 Samuel 9 verse 1. One morning, David got up and he says, I really miss my friend Jonathan. I really miss him. And he starts asking, he says, is there anybody left of the house of Saul? Because I want to show favor upon them. And so they say, yes, there is Ziba. So he says, bring him to the palace. Thank you. I wanted to say castle. Bring him to the palace. So here comes Ziba. And David says to him, Ziba, is there anybody left of the household of Saul? Because I want to show that person my favor. He says, yes, Jonathan's son. He says, but I can't pronounce that in English. Mephi? Okay, Mac inside, I can't. Okay. So he says, okay, but bring him because I want to show my favor upon him. Now, just before I give you the crutch of the story, Mac and I used to live in the Middle East. When you have any deformity of any kind, the whole society and community will reject you. You cannot go to school. Your family will reject you. You are not welcome in society. So here comes this little boy of Jonathan, and he's crippled. And David says, you're going to wine and dine with me here in my dwelling. And this guy's like, are you mad? I'm crippled. And that is what God does. He does not look at our children as the way they look. how they perform in life. It's about God's favor. What brings forth God's favor? Obedience. God says, obedience is worth much more to Him than any sacrifice we're willing to make. So the first thing you need to know to raise a godly generation is that favor comes from God and God alone. Exodus 33 verse 17 says, I look favorably on you and I know you by name. That is what God says to us. He says, I look at you with favor because I know you by your name. I know why I planned you. I know why I created you. I know the plans I have for you. You will enjoy my favor. Be close to me and be obedient to me. The second key on raising a godly generation, you need to know who God is. If I'm in covenant with Mac, I'm hectic on this. No one will ever badmouth my husband. I will not tolerate it. I don't care if they're right. You don't badmouth my husband. I'm in covenant with him. And if I hear somebody else is saying, I will also correct them because we are one. Okay? And neither should I badmouth him wherever I go. It doesn't matter how upset I am with him because I know who my husband is. I know who God is that has put us together, so I honor our covenant, our marriage covenant, okay? Christ has done everything for you and me, so we are in covenant with Him, okay? The enemy comes and he psychs us up about God, and eventually we believe all his lies. God, why is it my child that died? Why is it me this? Why is it me that we're in covenant with Christ? We cannot speak to Him and about Him the way we want. Our children should learn that from us. Okay? The other secret with this is knowing who our God is. It's just simply this. He's the potter and I'm the clay. He molds me. He created me. His plans are good for me. Okay, so I can't question him. So we cannot speak to him and about him the way we want. Okay, that is the boundary God puts up for us. We need to know God. It's the third one. Our speech need to be blameless. We cannot in a family say what we want because when we have become part of that family, we signed off free speech. Our children get disciplined when they have free speech with each other. Okay. Jy sleg man. Ek haat jou. Okay. Yes, our children do that as well. They're teenagers. They think it's cool to speak to each other like that. We discipline them because we as a family know that what we cultivate at home will be fruit outside of our house. Okay, so in our families, our speech needs to be blameless. Proverbs 18 verse 21 says, life and death is in the who eats the fruit, who uses that seed will eat the. That is what that scripture says. Okay, Proverbs 5, you can make a note and go read what Proverbs 5 says about our blameless speech. Proverbs 13 verse 3 says, those who control their tongue will have a long life. Who control their tongue will have a long life. Opening your mouth can ruin everything. It can ruin somebody's heart. It can ruin somebody's viewpoint of Jesus Christ. Okay? So let's control our tongues. Okay? We need to teach our children, when we have blameless speech, we have to teach our children to be obedient to us as parents. You know why? When Mac and I got married, it was just the two of us. Then they came into our household. We don't do things in our house the way our children want it. They do things in our house the way we want it. Because we're training them and leading them in a certain direction. So make sure that your house remains God-focused and not child-focused. In other words, when your children are small, You go to church. You don't stay away. You go to friends. You don't stay away. That child does not know what his own bed is. That's the reality of it. It's an empty baby. Whatever you teach that child will live out. Okay? So make sure that they become part of your life, because God adds to your family, to your calling as well. Okay? We see that our children are part of our calling. If our kids come home and say, Daddy, we need to pray for that little girl at school, her parents are getting divorced, and maybe you should speak to her tomorrow, then Max says, no, Daniel, you the pastor, you the person that they have trusted their hearts with, I will teach you how to handle it, but you will do the talking. We're part of one family. Mommy and Daddy aren't doing one thing and the kids are doing something else, okay? So teach your kids to listen to the parents. That means no sighing, no eyes rolling, no back chatting, no attitude. Why? That is what God expects of you and me. If God speaks to me, I don't go, I have to do this again. Is there nobody else on planet Earth? You know, I'm sure that God will say, hang on, Mac. Carl, will you please do it for me? Yes. Then Mac comes back after a year and says, God, I'm ready. Sorry, my boy. 70 other people has been raised up. You need to be on your next assignment. We need to teach our kids radical obedience because we're training them to follow Christ, okay? You as a family, the way you speak, let your yes be yes and your no be no. Don't say no because it's an easy thing to say. Weigh your words because it's very easy to change yes, no to yes. But after you said yes, it's very easy to say no. Difficult. Okay. Do not twist the truth. Do not twist the truth. Okay. That's also the way we speak. Example. You know that you get a lot of people on the street, in Stellenbosch in any case, and they are addicted to certain substances, and then they ask us money. And then I normally say, may I interject myself? Mika, our daughter, has a very passionate, merciful heart. She cries for the poor. She cries for those that are suffering. So then I would walk and somebody would come to me, ma'am, do you have money for me? And then I say, yes, I have, but I will not give it to you. If you're willing to go live in a shelter tonight, I will pay for that. Then Mika goes, I beg you, mommy, please just give him money. Mommy, just please give him money. Then I say, no, because I want to help him. Okay? But I also am not going to lie to him. It's a very gray area. Don't tell people that are begging that you haven't got money because you're lying. Don't teach your children to lie. When our phone rings, this is normally my line. Please, please, I don't want to talk. Please, 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 please. Then they say, mommy, what do I need to say? Then I say, tell them mommy is here, but she will phone you back. Don't lie. Don't lie about little things because you're starting a very small seed in their hearts and they're going to start speaking like that. Let your yes be yes and your no be no. Okay, pocket money. When your kids get older, mommies, if daddy says it's 50 rand a month, please don't give them backhand money. You're teaching them to be dishonest. Let our walk before Christ be blameless. Okay. Speak respectfully at all times, even if you differ between husband and wives. Even if you cannot agree on a matter. Okay. Speak to each other as the bridegroom and bride of Christ. Because your kids are going to see it and they're going to see how to handle conflict. Let your speech be blameless. The fourth key, live a life of forgiveness. Okay. Forgiveness influences a family. How do I know that? I have seen families where, let's say the father has not forgiven his parents for wrongdoing. The children grow up hating the grandparents without knowing them. You know what will happen? You know what will happen. They weren't taught that Opa and Oma are important and valuable to our family. Will their mommy and daddy be important to... No, they won't. So when they have children, those grandchildren will not know their Opa and Oma that well. So it's just a cycle. The other thing is that we just always, as Christians, need to remember, God forgives in balance to how we forgive. Lord, forgive my sins as we forgive others. It's a balance. So I'm sure I'm going to say, Lord, forgive me. And then he's going to say, okay, I can, but how deep? Not very deep. I really want to wash you clean, but it's a balance. Let's live a life of forgiveness in our households, okay? If we don't forgive, can I quickly have all the scarves in the house in front with four people? Okay, tie this scarf to that one's end. Another scarf. Scarf. Okay, then one more scarf would be fine, thanks. Okay, so I need four people here. Four people to the front. Okay. Maritza, come. Maritza is living a life of unforgiveness. She lives a life of forgiveness, but she has just not forgiven her mother yet. Just a mother, okay? Just a mother. Okay, you need to move up a bit. Just a mother, okay? So, and as the years gone by, she's now very upset with her mother-in-law as well. She's got mommy issues, now she's got mother-in-law issues, okay? So it's not too bad because she lives in forgiveness with the rest. And now her sister has even offended her even more, okay? So now let's role play and say, I am Christ. And I'm saying, Maritza, I want to follow you, me all the days of my life. And you say?
Yes.
So let's go. Who is she dragging along? Yes, here is the line. So now she comes to a place where she forgives her mother. Thank you, Doris. You can go sit down. And she says, I'm free. Jesus has freed me. I have gone through deliverance. Now I can walk faster. Okay, but she's still dragging people along. You see the valuable lesson about forgiveness so that we really can walk because they, thanks girl, she can go and sit down. They the chains that holds her back. That's what forgiveness does. And eventually it suffocates you and you die of unforgiveness, because they're pulling you back and Christ wants you to be free. And they're pulling you back and Christ wants you to be free, okay? The other big lie the world tells us is the hardest person to forgive is yourself. They always say that. Get that scripture for me in the Bible. It is a lie from the pit of hell. It is not the truth. God says, when I set you free, you will be free indeed. Okay? So when you forgive yourself, it is like forgiving somebody else. Okay? And forgiveness is daily. When you have my personality, forgiveness is daily. I will drive home in the afternoon and think, what? And then I'll forgive you. I choose to bless you. May you be blessed in your going in and your going out. Teach yourself that forgiveness is a lifestyle. Then your kids sound like this. Dad, you won't believe it. And I know you're going to say I must forgive her, but I don't want to. Then Ma goes, you have to. Because our kids see, your children will see the value of forgiveness in your life. Okay, then the fifth key, money matters. Okay? My son has had last him quite a few friends that came to visit, boys obviously, and then our kids are not allowed to date until they have left school, just by the way. And then I asked them, give me two things that you really like your father to speak to you about. All six boys said exactly the same. I would like my father to speak to me about sex and money. What are the two things fathers don't speak to their children about? Most probably sex and money. Kids want to hear from their parents how to be good stewards of not just other things, money as well, okay? We have decided our daughter, when she turns 16, she's going to run our household budget, food budget. I'm going to say to her, here is our budget. You have to sit with all the menus, work out food that will match our budget. And then I will go with you and we will buy it together. Why? Kids go and study. My husband has studied donkey's years to become a lawyer, which he never became. Okay? Who has trained him to be a good father? You see what I'm saying? Who has trained you girls to be good wives when you got married? It's conversations parents don't have with their children. A lot of families don't know how much they spend just on their food budget. We should teach our children about money, how to spend it to the glory of God, okay? The other thing is, teach them to tithe wherever they are planted. You know that obedient children have obedient parents. It's the only reason parents will enjoy obedient children. Because kids see, oh, my daddy drives on the speed limit, he tithes. Whenever he gets a fine, he pays the fine. We're obedient to the normal things in life, but also to the Word of God. That produces obedient children together with discipline. But you get what I'm saying, okay? I always say to the woman, don't lie about the money, okay? I've got a friend. She buys boots of 2,000 rand. And then her husband says, where did you get those boots? Nick and my uncle. It's only 200 rand. Your kids know that you are lying. Be honest about money. Be honest about tithing. Be honest about giving. What are you giving where? Teach your kids to give, okay? The sixth one, everybody has a responsibility, okay? Mothers, do not do the school projects, your kids' school projects. We were at Shofar Pretoria in June. So this one mother said to me one evening, I need to get home because my matric boy's project is not yet done. And we've got a very busy holiday ahead of us. I'm like, matric, you have still not taught him to take responsibility. We have to teach our children to take responsibility. My motto in life is when my children turns 13. I go to them and I say, Daniel, you're no longer a guest in my household. I've trained you. You know how our household works. I will never make your bed again. I'm not going to pick your shoes up again. I'm not going to clear the table for you. I do that for guests. So you're going to take full responsibility from today. If you want to get up for an exam earlier, I'm not going to wake you anymore. You take responsibility, you set your alarm, you get up in the morning, okay? We have to do that at the age of 13. When you give your children pocket money one day, at the age of 13, you go to the bank, you open a bank account. You pay their pocket money into a bank account, and they have to set up a budget. Every slip, everything they buy, they have to keep the slip. And they have to keep record of how much did I get in, how much did I spend. Okay? Why? One day, if they have businesses, will it work like that? One day, if they have household, they have to run households, will it work like that? One day, if you're running somebody else's business, will it work like that? We teach them responsibility on different levels. Okay? And we need to teach our children that every decision has a consequence. We were joking last night, Maritza and I. She got her last hiding from her father in matric. I got my last one. I beat her. luckily, at 16. Because parents put down boundaries, and then we ignore those boundaries. We make decisions, but every decision has a consequence. Every decision we make has a consequence, okay? We are the carriers of Christ. Think of a baby. I saw your wife with the little one this morning. She walks. That baby cannot walk by itself, okay? So let's say, symbolically, we carry a baby for Christ at all times. How we speak, how we act, how we do things, how we take, we make decisions, okay? And God our Father says, I will not change. My yes is yes, and my no is no. I'm the same yesterday, I'm the same today, and I will be the same tomorrow. See, if I ask you, be honest, be pure, be obedient. There's no line that moves. God stands like a rock, okay? Colossians 3 verse 12 says, since God chose you to be the holy people he loves, you must clothe yourself with tender-hearted mercy, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. So what if we do all these keys that you've just given me, Nordine? What if I do that right? What will it resolve in? What proof can you give me? Oh, I can give you a beautiful biblical proof. 2 Kings 5 verse 1. The king of Aram had a great admiration for Naaman, the commander of his army, because through him the Lord had given Aram great victories. But though Naaman was a mighty warrior, he suffered from leprosy, okay, a sickness. At this time, it should be Armenian raiders had invaded the land of Israel, and among their captives was a young girl who had been given to Naaman's wife as a maid. One day the girl said to her mistress, I wish my master would go to see the prophet in Samaria. He would heal him of his leprosy. So Naaman told the king what the young girl from Israel had said. Okay. Let me tell a different story that will be exactly like this. Jacob Zuma, our president in South Africa, starts an army. The main commander of his army's name is Naaman. Naaman comes with his horse down a road one day. Here, my little girl, in Afrikaans, it says klein dochterkie. So I would guess 12. 12 and younger, okay? More or less. Here I walk down the road with my little girl. Here him and his army came, bend down, grab this little girl out of my hand, and off they go. What just happened? She's been abducted. She's been used for human trafficking. Why do I say that? Because now she's been given to their household to clean their toilets, to make their beds, to cook their food. How will a child of 12 react when that happens? Human trafficked, no promise that she will see her parents again, and has to run somebody else's household as a slave. Tell me. Let's look how this girl reacted. She says, I wish my master, not that pig, that dog, that filthy man, my master, which says to me, her parents taught her to obey and respect people in authority. How amazing is that? I have to say, I think I have failed in that area. My daughter would cry day and night, I want my mommy, I want my mommy. I'm convinced of it, okay? But here she is, and she realizes, I'm out of my parents' household. They know the people I will have to submit to. And he's my master. So I go to his wife, this little girl, and says, I wish my master, she respects the position he holds, would go to see the prophet in Samaria. You know what she's saying? She goes to her master's wife and say to him, I wish you were from my people, because my mommy and daddy taught me, if you go and Pastor Carl and Pastor Yaku lay their hands on them and anoint them and pray for them, he will get healed. This little girl has been human trafficked, and all she knows is, I've got eyes on Jesus. This man does not know Jesus. I just wish with my whole being that he will go back to my country so that somebody can pray for him that he gets healed. Mind blowing. If we follow godly principles, that is the type of generation we will raise. Okay? So go read in Hebrews 13. They didn't even have the New Testament. How to honor people in authority. Her parents taught her that. She knew how it works. Okay? She was kingdom focused. But the very important thing, at the age of up to 12, she knew how to stand strong through the storms of life. She knew, my God is with me, I'm going to be fine. She had a testimony of my family. I come from a family where we serve Christ. We pray for people and they get healed. Absolute normal thing for her, okay? The last thing that she saw was the needs of other people. Not, I want to go back home. Not, how can Jacob Zuma do this to me? How can he just take me away? She's still looking at how to serve other people, how to minister to them. So if we're going to instill godly principles in our children, they're going to be like this from a very young age. I believe that our children will be spiritually where you are now when they are 10 and 11 and 12. Because of the seed we sow in their lives, God is just going to multiply it. But I really want to encourage you, stay focused in following Christ. Stay focused on His Word. Do not let the storms of life throw you off track. Don't let a hitman come and run your train just off the rails. Stand strong. Stay focused. Amen. I hand over to Carl.
Thank you so much, Nadine. We're going to have a 15-minute, let's make it 20 minutes, quick break right now, and then we're going to have the